Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, Mixed Martial Arts fans around the internet world and just the world in general? And most importantly, what's going on, Mixed Martial Arts fans of blogtalkradio.com? This is the most must-hear Mixed Martial Arts podcast on blogtalkradio.com. It's only one because there will never be another George Kennebrew show. This is episode 37, y'all. We're getting closer to the big 4-0. And I just got to say that it is definitely a blessing, and it's definitely a milestone that we've even made it to 37 episodes. I mean, but it wouldn't be possible at all without you, the great listeners. I call y'all my GKS fans. I mean, not GKS fans, sorry, my GKS clan, or GKS diehards, GKS faithful, whatever you want to call it. Y'all have stuck with me for 37 episodes, and I totally, totally appreciate that. And this is why, you know, we're still rocking as hard as we are. And this is why I've made it to this point, all because of y'all. So, just one more time, you know, from the bottom, the very bottom of my heart, I definitely want to thank all of you who take time out of your busy weeks, even though it's the summertime, because, you know, a lot of y'all got families and, you know, it's still the work still doesn't stop in the summertime. So I thank all of you in the MMA community for taking time out of your busy schedule to tune in to little old me and listen to me ramble about mixed martial arts for an hour on a Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. So thank you very much. I am truly, truly blessed to have you all supporting me. And that's from the bottom. But now that we've gotten all that out of the way, let's get down to what we're going to be discussing on tonight's broadcast. This is going to be a fairly different broadcast tonight, being that it seems that, you know, we're kind of taking a break a little bit from, you know, the actual fights themselves. You know, after UFC 224, you know, the MMA world has kind of been on a break here these past couple of weeks. And, you know, it's just been little stories here and there that's come out. But still, it's news, and we are going to cover it on here. But we're going to start off tonight's broadcast a little bit different, something I haven't done on GKS in a very long time, and that is we are going to be giving you a little dose of professional wrestling, a.k.a. WWE. We're going to be talking about Ronda Rousey and her performance and Money in the Bank and how that has elevated her superstardom with the company. I have some very, very positive thoughts and insight about that. And then we're also going to be talking about this apparent drama that's going on right now in the UFC women's bantamweight division over who's the next contender or who is the rightful contender for the UFC women's bantamweight championship. And then we're going to end the show tonight talking about, speaking of superstars, a guy that's definitely a bona fide superstar in the UFC's eyes, none other than the notorious Conor McGregor. And if you've been keeping up with the headlines for the past week, you will know why we're going to be talking about him. But we will definitely get to that later when it's time to get to it. But we're going to go ahead and kick things off here. And as I just mentioned, we are going to be talking about Ronda Rousey and her Money in the Bank performance this past Sunday night from Chicago, Illinois. Now, this is WWE's, I guess you could call it the second, well, I mean, it is the second most anticipated event that they have, because, of course, their big summer marquee event is SummerSlam. But Money in the Bank is definitely not too far off from SummerSlam. And it happened this past Sunday. And it's a very unique event. And, you know, it's mostly headlined by the actual Money in the Bank ladder matches themselves. So it was a pretty good event. I mean, there were some matches in there that, you know, kind of had me bored. And, you know, to be honest with you, I fell asleep through about a couple of those matches, which I will remain nameless. But be that as it may, overall, it was a pretty decent, I'll say it was a pretty good pay-per-view, minus those two matches that, you know, that were just complete snoozers. But I'm not here to talk about that or those matches. I'm here to talk about Ronda Rousey. So let's talk about Ronda Rousey's performance at Money in the Bank. Just to let y'all know, I am watching SmackDown Live because I am a pro wrestling fan at heart. I've told y'all that before. So if you don't know, you need to go get a Q-tip and, you know, take that wax out of your ears. But, yeah, I am a pro wrestling fan. You know, I watch pretty much all of the organizations that are around right now that are, I guess you would deem, the hot organizations, like, of course, WWE. I'm very familiar with Ring of Honor, watch Ring of Honor a lot of my time. Just recently got hip to New Japan this past year. Love New Japan. Used to be a real big fan of TNA, which is now Impact. You know, back in, you know, 2005 through, you know, 2010 or what have you. So pro wrestling has always been a part of my life, y'all. So, you know, it shouldn't be a surprise here I'm discussing something WWE related. But I just wanted to let y'all know that before we really get into this Ronda Rousey thing, that I am watching SmackDown Live right now. So if I do have little pauses here and there, just know I told you ahead of time I'm watching, you know, SmackDown. Well, I'm not watching SmackDown Live, but I'm glancing at SmackDown Live. So just to let y'all know. But anyway, let's go ahead and dive headfirst into Ronda Rousey and Money in the Bank. Okay, so this was her first annual pay-per-view appearance, because as we all know, at WrestleMania, she was in a tag match with Triple H. She was in a tag match with Kurt Angle facing Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. It was a really, really good match, very well laid out. They really allowed Ronda to shine in that match and, you know, really display sides of her personality that we really did not see in the UFC. Because as we know, in the UFC, you know, she was more quiet and focused and, you know, stoic and, you know, really wasn't as loose as she is in WWE. So I think her transition to the professional wrestling world has allowed her to kind of, you know, relax and, you know, let her hair down a little bit and, you know, be a little bit more loose in front of the camera. And definitely in this match here, being it was her very first pay-per-view appearance, and she'd been put into the WWE Raw Women's Championship position as the number one contender, and she took on Nia Jax, who is also a phenomenal talent in the WWE Women's Division herself. So it looked on paper to be a pretty solid matchup, but, you know, it was just the fact of, you know, were they going to be able to tell the story physically in the ring that was going to, you know, be able to really make this match happen the way fans were anticipating it to, especially on Ronda's end, being that Ronda is, you know, the more inexperienced, and is still, you know, learning the ropes of the professional wrestling business and trying to find her way through, you know, as opposed to Nia, who's been there for a while and knows the routine. To my pleasant surprise, and probably to a lot of all of you who saw Money in the Bank, Ronda delivered. She looked excellent. She flowed in the match very well. The moves she displayed were really, really cool. You could tell that she has taken this training at the WWE Performance Center very, very serious, and she's really put a lot of time and a lot of really good effort into becoming a WWE superstar. So I was very impressed by that. I was very impressed by her ability to take punishment from Nia Jax. She showed her resilience. You know, she fought through adversity. You know, we really hadn't seen Ronda, you know, really have to fight through adversity. I think this match was a good place for her to do that, just to kind of see what she's made of and how she, you know, is able to, you know, overcome that. So I think she did a very good job there. But unfortunately, she did end up losing that match because being that another great WWE talent in the women's division, Alexa Bliss, won the Money in the Bank ladder match, which is a match where it's a ladder match. For all of you old school wrestling fans of the 90s, early, mid 2000s, you know what a ladder match is. So the Money in the Bank ladder match consists of a big white briefcase hanging above the ladder, and the objective is simple. Climb the ladder, get the briefcase, you win the match. So Alexa Bliss did indeed win the match, and the stipulation, for those of you that don't know, of the Money in the Bank ladder match is, you know, if you win the briefcase with the contract inside, you have the opportunity or have the privilege of cashing in that contract for a world title shot anytime you see fit. So with that being said, Alexa Bliss took her opportunity to cash in the contract. She attacked Ronda from behind. And she attacked Nia Jax too. And basically she winded up pinning Nia Jax and winning the Raw Women's Championship, because being that she cashed in her briefcase, what was a one-on-one match with Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax turned into a triple threat. So being that Alexa Bliss was cashing in her Money in the Bank briefcase, it now turned into a triple threat. So hence, you know, Alexa Bliss pinning Nia Jax. Now, interesting enough, Ronda did not get pinned. She was attacked, and I think she was sent to the outside after she got hit with the briefcase. So she did not get pinned by Alexa Bliss. I think that's very, very good writing for storyline purposes, not to, you know, have Ronda Rousey be pinned. But all in all, she did end up losing the match, and Alexa Bliss became the new Raw Women's Champion. Now, with Money in the Bank being over with now, excuse me, I had a quick pause there. Was looking at SmackDown Live again. Sorry. But now that Money in the Bank is over with, even though Ronda did not become the Raw Women's Champion. I just think that performance that she gave this past Sunday, I think that really had put an end, just a complete end to all the doubt about, you know, how she wasn't, you know, going to be able to adapt to professional wrestling, and, you know, she was going to try to, you know, be too MMA based or whatnot, and, you know, she wouldn't be able to adjust, you know, to the flow and the timing of a, you know, professional wrestling match. I think she silenced all of that talk on Sunday. So for those of you out there that are still choosing to hate on Rousey, I suggest you stop while you're ahead, because you're just wasting oxygen. I mean, the girl did her thing, put up a gallant effort despite not winning the championship. But I guarantee you that type of performance right there is going to definitely move her along the rankings in the WWE women's division. So just saying, give the girl a credit. She's doing her thing right now in WWE. She is. And then last night on Monday Night Raw, she followed that up, you know, with, you know, a beatdown of Alexa Bliss. And apparently she's, you know, in storyline suspended for 30 days, which is not a bad idea. I think that'll give Ronda a lot more of an opportunity, or I should say a lot more time to go and, you know, hone her skills at the Performance Center, maybe come up, you know, with some more moves to add to her skill set. And, you know, when she comes back on television, she'll be even better. So I think, you know, that little angle that they're doing to put her off TV for a minute and, you know, give her more time to develop as a WWE superstar, I think that's a good move by WWE management. So we'll see how she turns out when she comes back. I think Ronda's going to be I think she's going to be a whole lot better once she does reappear on WWE TV. I'm betting that she will become 3 times better than she is now once she comes back on television. I'm just most certain, because if WrestleMania and Money in the Bank was an indication of what's to come later on, Ronda Rousey might be the biggest WWE superstar since The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin. You can call me crazy. You know, you can say, you know, I'm getting carried away. You know, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I'm a Ronda Rousey mark. You can say, you know, whatever, you know. But I truly believe it. I truly believe it, because you cannot deny that at Money in the Bank, Ronda Rousey did not impress you. You cannot deny that. You cannot deny that she impressed you at Money in the Bank. And another thing that I love about it, too, is that given the circumstances that she was put in, being that, number one, this was her first pay-per-view appearance. Then, number two, she was put in a position as the number one contender for the Raw Women's Championship and never really got a chance to build up to that point, and she still put on a good showing. Come on, man. Come on. There's nothing to hate about. You can't do nothing but stand up and applaud her, man. You got to. So just give it up. For those of you out there that still want to hate on Ronda Rousey, give it up, man. And just applaud the woman for what she did, because she did a very, very, very good job. Hats off to her, man. And, you know, if Ronda Rousey does come back to WWE TV three times better than she is right now, I guarantee you she will be the Raw Women's Champion before this year is out. And you could call me crazy about that too. But I'm just telling you what I see. And what I see is greatness for Ronda Rousey in professional wrestling. And that's that. All right, so let us transition now to the first half of our UFC Insight. And I'm going to save the best story for last. And I know you all know what that is. And I'm going to go to the first story that we're going to tackle in our UFC Insight, which is the apparent drama that's going on in the UFC women's bantamweight division. So apparently there's a little bit of a horse race going on between two top contenders. Or wait, no, let me rephrase. There's a horse race going on for a top contender by default and a legitimate top contender. Now, when I say top contender by default, that is no slight to Holly Holm, okay? But let's be honest at the same time. Holly Holm is not a true featherweight. She's a bantamweight. But being that she beat a legit featherweight title contender in Megan Anderson at UFC 224 a couple of weeks ago, she is, you know, by default, a top contender. And she does have that option now of going after Amanda Nunes for the UFC women's going back after Cyborg for the UFC women's featherweight title and going after Amanda Nunes or going after Amanda Nunes for the UFC women's bantamweight title. I don't know how I'd be getting tongue-tied. Again, mind slow down, mouth slow down. Got to take my time. You know what I'm saying? I'm so excited, you know, to give you all of this stuff. You know what I mean? You know, it's sometimes, you know, I think I'm saying the right thing, but you know, I end up saying another. I mean, it's just because I'm excited. You know, I'm an exciting guy. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, y'all understand. I ain't got to explain nothing to y'all. But anyway, Holly Holm has opened up a couple of doors for herself. So, as I just said, she's got the option of either rematching Cyborg and attempting to take the featherweight title off of her, or she now has all the right to go back to bantamweight, which she has openly talked about in an interview, and also because of my latest article, one of many that I've written on MyMMAnews.com. So if you want to find out how Holly Holm feels about going back to bantamweight, just go to MyMMAnews.com and just scroll through the articles and you will see your boy's name, George Kennebrew, right up under the article of Holly Holm talking about going back to bantamweight, and read up on it. Matter of fact, read up on all the articles that I put out. I mean, I've put out quite a few articles lately. I've been doing work, y'all. I've been doing work. So go to MyMMAnews.com if you haven't already and check them out. Just look for my name up under the headline and just read up and get your daily dosage of MMA news writer style from this guy here. All right. So, back to the subject. With that being said, being that Holly Holm now has kind of her destiny in her hands, that brings me to another young lady who's been on just as impressive a streak, and Ketlin Vieira, who is 4-0, unbeaten in the UFC women's bantamweight division. And she recently came out and expressed her feelings about how she is fearing now that Holly Holm might skip over her in the rankings and get the title shot against Amanda Nunes when she feels like she should be the rightful contender for the Women's Bantamweight Championship. So, I want to read you all a quote that Vieira had, that Vieira said in an interview with MMA Fighting, expressing, how she feels that she should be next in line for the UFC Women's Bantamweight Championship. So, the quote says, "My team and I work really hard for this opportunity." This is what she was telling MMA Fighting. "They want to put her and Holly," her meaning Amanda Nunes, "they want to put her and Holly, but we've worked hard to get there. If I'm the number two in the ranking, that's because of my work, not because the UFC kept me there like they did Holly Holm. Yeah. I have a lot of respect for Holly Holm. She was the champion. I respect every fighter, but you can't simply move up and down in weight and leapfrog me. The only girl she's beaten recently at bantamweight is Betch Kohea, who I have a lot of respect for as well, but she's the number 10 in the ranking. Holm is, she's talking about. She's had two losses, beats Betch, and stays at number one. That's logical. Nunez's team says she's next because she's the number one. But it's easy to stay at number one, beating the number 10 and the UFC keeping you there." So, basically what she's saying, in case any of you didn't understand, is that basically Vieira, to her point, and justifiably so, has, you know, did it the old-fashioned way, you know, beating everybody that the UFC has put in front of her. You heard the names that were mentioned. So she feels like there's some politicking going on. Let's just be real. And, hey, judging by, you know, how the UFC has been over the recent years, you kind of can't blame her. I mean, you know, it has kind of become, you know, that WWE-esque political sports entertainment-like atmosphere now, you know? So you can't disagree with Ketlin here. I mean, she's got a very good point, you know? And it's almost like Holly just came out of nowhere and just moved down to 135 all of us. I mean, what is it, 140? No, bantamweight is 145. Okay, so she moved down to 135 all of a sudden to challenge Cyborg, and she ended up losing that match. Then she stayed there and beat Megan Anderson, and now all of a sudden she's possibly in line for a shot at Cyborg again. Now, where Vieira's gripe comes in is that she lost the first fight moving down to 135 against Cyborg. And now, just because she's won one fight in the weight class, she's all of a sudden getting a title shot. That's where Vieira's gripe comes in. And it's a very good one. And then let me read you, in case that doesn't convince you enough, let me read you these other two quotes that she said. And maybe that'll probably give you a more clear description on, you know, her feeling the way that she feels. So, she continues by saying, "Amanda Nunes said I would be next," which is true because, if I can find it, okay, here it is. Amanda Nunes did say, I'm reading it right here, and quote, Ketlin Vieira is definitely next, and I'll be ready. So, again, Ketlin Vieira has a very good case here for being upset. Okay, but back to the quote that I was about to read. Amanda Nunes said I would be next. I honor my word. I have character. My family taught me to honor my word. As a champion and as an example for thousands and thousands of Brazilians, she should honor her word. If she had no interest in fighting me, she should have just said many, many times, let me read that again, I'm sorry. She shouldn't have said many, many, many times that I was next. I'm coming off a win over Kat Zingano, which is true. The only woman to beat her in the UFC, which is true too. I wasn't out there saying I was next. She said it. She said I deserved it because I was coming off a win over Kat Zingano. Then another quote says, I'm coming off of four wins in the UFC. Four. She said that just to emphasize that, you know, just in case y'all still don't understand. It looks like Holly Holm's record has chicken pox with all those red spots. That's funny. The UFC is really trying to benefit her. She goes up and down in weight, does whatever she wants, and every time she fights, it's a title fight now? Another good point. She fought Jermaine D. Rundami. I think that's how you say that. She fought Cyborg, and now she wants to come back to 135. That's not fair to me and other bantamweights. It's disrespectful. Amanda has only defended her belt three times. There are good athletes in the division. That's not cool. My team is with me. They believe I'm ready for a title fight. I've been evolving a lot in the grappling and striking area. I'm only 26. The longer it takes, I'm only going to get better. I'm saying I deserve it because she said I would be next. And now Holly Holm wins a fight, and they want her because it will sell more pay-per-views. It's not how it should be. We have to honor and not only think about money. These are some very good statements that Ketlin Vieira is making here, y'all. Now, for those of you, let me say this. Now, for those of you casual UFC fans that disagree with this, obviously, you're not watching mixed martial arts for the right reasons. Because if you are a true fight fan, I mean, okay, yes, we have the press conferences and the trash talking and, you know, the verbal selling of the fights. That's all well and good. But to Vieira's point, the bottom line is comes down to when your music hits and you make that walk to the octagon and you step inside that octagon. And once that octagon door shuts, what do you do? Or what can you do? Can you show us everything that you've talked about up to that point? That's what it ultimately comes down to. So to be honest with you, I agree with Ketlin Vieira here. I think she should actually be the one next in line, regardless if Holly Holm, you know, beat a top 10 contender in the featherweight division. Like I said earlier, Holm's not even a legitimate featherweight anyway. She's a bantamweight. So, you know, I don't know. But what I do know, as far as Ketlin Vieira is concerned, those are very, very good points. And I'm hoping that Dana does the right thing and gives Ketlin Vieira the next shot at Cyborg. Because, listen, okay, I understand that the UFC is owned by, you know, WME, IMG. I understand that. And I know that WME, IMG are not people for the sport. They're people for the entertainment, the logistics, the money. I understand that. But they're going to realize that when it's all said and done, the UFC is a mixed martial arts organization. What does that mean? That means we are here to compete in mixed martial arts contests. Now, there is a place for selling competitions. There is a place for making money. There is a place for selling tickets. Promotion and marketing is a very big part in any form of sport, especially in this 21st century. We know that. But at the same time, we can't be having politics hinder our sport. I mean, politics have already caused enough damage in mixed martial arts as it is. So Ketlin Vieira is right. We got to sometimes do the right thing, not what's best for business, as Vince McMahon would like to tell you. I mean, yes, money does matter to a certain extent, but it doesn't have to be the center of everything, okay? Sorry, I'm kind of getting out of podcaster journalist mode and, you know, letting my inner fan come out of me. You know, this happens from time to time, so just bear with me. But, yeah, the Vieira's point, you know, money doesn't have to be the center of everything, because you know what? If you put on good fights that the fans want to see, the money's going to come. You won't even have to think about it. That'll be in principle. If you put on good product for your fans, they will pay, and they will pay in large on top of that. But in order to do that, you have to give the fans the fights that they want to see. Now, we understand Ketlin Vieira isn't as popular as a Holly Holm, a Cyborg, a Chris Cyborg, or an Amanda Nunes. We know that. But here's the beautiful part. Unlike professional wrestling, in mixed martial arts, a sport that is actually legitimate and authentic, you can still make a star. A star can still be made. And do you know how that star can be made? Simple. Go out there and win the fight. Period. Go out there and win a championship. Go out there and fight your ass off, even if you do lose. That's how stars are made in legitimate sport. That's all it takes. So the moment that the UFC staff and Dana White, to a certain extent, gets that mind frame back in motion, then we'll be in business. But yeah, I agree. I agree with Vieira's points here wholeheartedly. I'm gonna read one last quote here, and then we're gonna wrap this baby on up, this portion, that is. I'll go ahead and just read these last two quotes here. So continuing on what she was saying about, wanting Holly Holm to fight Amanda Nunes because of, you know, pay-per-view buys and money. She also continued by saying, everybody sees that's the reason. The last event they did in Brazil was the worst pay-per-view. So it's clear that they want that. She wants that. Or a super fight with Chris Cyborg, because that will sell pay-per-views. She doesn't think about when she was the number two and wanted to become the champion. She's killing everyone's dreams, holding the division, fighting once a year. That's not fair. If you talk to somebody who really understands about MMA, no doubt that should be the number one in the ranking. No doubt that I should be, this is Vieira talking, no doubt that I should be the number one in the ranking. It's funny that everyone that goes down in the rankings drops off, and they keep Holly there. She's coming off a win over the number 10 and stays at number 1. Who has a longer winning streak at bantamweight than me? That's unfair. The UFC ranking is unfair. I don't know why they have a ranking if they don't follow it. Yeah. You're definitely, I mean, hey, how can you disagree with that? How can you disagree with that? Before we end this portion of the UFC Insight, let's review this again, okay? So she's beaten Kat Zingano. Who else has she beat? She beat Sarah McMahon. You see those names? Kat Zingano, Sarah McMahon. You know what those two names have in common? They have both fought for the title. So those are some major wins for a person like Caitlin, who's so young in her career. Those are major wins. And then, just to sum it all up in its entirety, she hasn't lost a fight. She's 4-0. I don't know of anybody else who's undefeated at bantamweight. So, again, I'm just talking to the people that are casual MMA fans that don't care anything about the competition but just want to see people talk trash and knock everybody out and all of that other nonsense. I'm trying to, you know, pour some common sense into your brain. The reason you get into a sport, whether it be mixed martial arts or whatever, is to beat the best that the sport has to offer, move up in the rankings, or, you know, whatever you got to do to get a shot at being a world champion. And you go through that process, and once you feel like you've completed that process, then you should earn a shot to be the world champion. It's very simple. So, again, I really do hope that Dana White does the right thing, even though my chances of him doing that, or not my chances, I should say, the chances of him doing that are slim. So, Caitlin just deserves it. She just deserves it, man. She definitely deserves it. I'm sorry. You know, the girl deserves it. So, like I say, for once, I hope Dana just has a brain and some common sense and just give the rightful person the shot. That's all I'm saying. But more than likely, we probably might see Holly Holm and Cyborg again. And I know Cyborg is not going to be happy about that either, because Cyborg is just like the rest of us who are diehard mixed martial arts fans and that do care about the sport. Hold on 1 second. Pause again. Oh, boy. Oh, wow. The Miz. The Miz just eliminated Daniel Bryan. They're having this gauntlet match on SmackDown Live, and The Miz just took complete advantage of Daniel Bryan getting beat down. That was pretty funny. Okay, sorry about that. So, where was I? Yeah, so Dana's probably going to set up Holly versus Cyborg again. But I know Cyborg is not going to be happy about that, because Cyborg, like the rest of us, feels that, you know, if you work hard and you keep winning every fight that you're being put into, you should earn a shot for the belt. But like I said a couple of minutes ago, the UFC has turned into, you know, sports entertainment. You know, politics is at all-time high. So what can you do? But, you know, it is what it is. But eventually, whether it be sooner or later, I do hope Ketlen Vieira gets her shot at the UFC Women's Bantamweight Championship, whoever the champion may be, whether it be Holly Holm, whether it be Amanda Nunes, whatever. I just hope, I'm just hoping that she does get the shot. So there you have it. So we are going to go into the last part of our UFC insight for tonight. This is the story that I'm sure a lot of you have been waiting to hear discussed, and I'm glad to tell you that you're definitely in the right place at the right time. So here we go. Conor McGregor, former UFC lightweight and featherweight champion, the UFC's Million Dollar Man, and lately, Conor has been trying to get himself out of some trouble, because if you all watched the UFC 223, what is it, the Embedded, I think it was on Embedded or the Countdown, no, it might have been on Embedded, but anyway, if y'all remember the UFC 223 Media Day, you already know the story, so I don't need to go into detail. But what I will say is that Conor McGregor, you know, is currently dealing with legal troubles and did appear in court. When was it? Last week he appeared in court, and it was a very brief court hearing, but the outcome after, you know, the hearing was over was very, very interesting. And that was that he is currently negotiating a plea deal, and he was granted to return to court on July 26th. So, that being said, depending on the outcome of this hearing on the 26th of July, is going to determine Conor McGregor's future. Now, if you ask me, should this whole situation not turn out good for Conor, I don't think we'll ever see him back in the UFC. I just don't. Because if he can't get the situation put behind him, then I think it's going to take so much of a toll on him that he probably might never want to think about fighting again. And, you know, I'll go ahead and say this too. I mean, he does deserve this because he was, you know, disturbing the peace, invading somebody else's space. Although you can argue he was justified in doing so, but I think there was lots of other ways you could have handled that situation with Khabib's team. I don't think putting somebody else in danger and severely injuring them was the best way to go about it, but this is the 21st century after all, and, you know, nobody does anything simple anymore. So, there you have it. But his future is definitely in jeopardy here. Because don't think just because he negotiated a plea deal doesn't mean that, you know, this is going to signal him getting off the hook. There are going to be some repercussions for what he did still. Whether that's with the law system, whether that's, you know, in his fight career, whatever the case may be, Conor McGregor is definitely going to pay the piper. And I'm not saying that because, you know, I'm just bloodthirsty and I want to see him go through that. I'm more so saying that because it's the price that you pay. So, we'll see what happens on the 26th. Now, besides this, there was some more news that came out earlier today about possibly setting up a fight between he and Khabib Nurmagomedov. Now, excuse me. Now, with this situation at the forefront, you know, being that we don't know how it's going to turn out, I'm not so sure that this fight is going to get done. Now, at the same time, Conor McGregor's team might be that good, and they might be able to find a way to get out of this thing unscathed, and we might see a super fight between Conor and Khabib. But I don't know, because when you're dealing with a charge like Conor is dealing with, you know, that's not an easy thing to get out of. And, you know, if I'm Conor, you know, I wouldn't be too overconfident going into this hearing, because, you know, that jury in there might have some stuff, you know, on you that you don't even know about. So if I'm Conor, I'm basically just staying even keel, and I'm just waiting to see what the end's going to be. That's pretty much how I do it, but I don't know. But as far as making the fight, should things go in Conor's favor with Khabib Nurmagomedov, I think it's a great fight. I think it'll be probably one of the best and most anticipated fights of the year 2018 in the UFC, the main reason being Conor McGregor's return. That alone is just an experience all in itself. So we'll see what happens. I know his striking coach, Owen Roddy, came out today, as a matter of fact, and expressed how he thinks, you know, the legal situation will turn out and the possibility of him fighting Khabib. And I'll just read you some real quick quotes here because my time is starting to wind down. So he says, and I quote, "I can't confirm anything, but it would be great. Conor's training hard. He's always training. He's motivated and he wants to fight. It's just that he gets a few things sorted out and then he sits down and negotiates a good deal for his next fight. I think it will be another big spectacle like they always are. So I'm excited, just like everybody else. I don't know, but I think Khabib's at the forefront. I'll always say, Conor wants the biggest fights that he can possibly have, and I think at the moment, Khabib seems to be that guy." So there you go. We all know, as I said before, Conor is the UFC's million-dollar man. He wants the fight that's going to bring him the most money. And, you know, I think Khabib is no doubt that money fight. I think anybody in the UFC will tell you that. But I want to read you one more quote. This is very interesting of what Roddy had to say about Khabib as an opponent and where he feels Conor can take advantage of openings. This is the last one, I promise. The strikers always have an advantage because you start standing and you start at range. The grappler always has to get to the ground. That is, hold on. I'm sorry. The grappler always has to get around that and find his way into the clinch. And it's very, very difficult to do without taking a big shot off Conor. It's just about setting traps and putting his opponent in positions where they're vulnerable. He's got phenomenal takedown defense. You've seen that in some of his other fights. He's no slouch there, so we're more than prepared to fight anybody. That's very interesting because, yes, the striker does, to a certain extent, have an advantage. So Owen Roddy's point, you know, is good. the striker does have an advantage because, as we know, in mixed martial arts, every fight starts where? Standing up. And what is Conor McGregor good at? Stand-up fighting. So that is a good point. But at the same time, I don't know if Conor has ever fight or will fight anybody that's going to come at him, you know, constantly, you know, with the forward pressure and movement of Khabib. And then on top of that, Khabib is not your typical wrestler, okay? Khabib is from Moscow, Russia. When I say those boys wrestle, they wrestle. I mean, like, they wrestle like, you know, their lives depend on it. So I don't know if Conor's going to ever face somebody that has that type of wrestling ability like Khabib. But I don't know. I don't know, man. We'll definitely have to wait and see. First of all, you know, we got to wait and see how this hearing is going to go down July 26th before we talk about anything concerning a fight. So let's just see what happens and hold out hope for Conor that he could get back into the octagon as soon as possible, because I would definitely love to see that fight. All right, real quick, because we got 2 minutes left here on the show. I want to tell y'all real fast about PFL happening this Wednesday. Is it Wednesday or Thursday? One of those days. And yes, this is for real this time. This is for real this time. It's happening Thursday, July 21st at 5:30 p.m. It's 72 fighters. This is the first regular season playoffs, and they're going to be competing for a $10 million championship. Wow. That is major, y'all. That is major. That's major. For $10 million. My goodness. Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Wow. Oh, snap. Rusev just won the gauntlet match. Rusev's the number one contender. Holy smokes. Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, the go-home sign has been given, y'all. Don't forget to check out PFL2, Professional Fighting League, 72 fighters. It's the regular season playoffs for $10 million for the championship. Go check that out. Y'all know, go check out all my social media and make sure, like I said, go read my articles on MyMMAnews.com and all that good stuff. I'm about to get out of here and watch the rest of SmackDown Live. So until next week, two fingers, adios, amigos. I love you all. Enjoy the summer. I'm gone.